Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
Bone of the Mo Thugs movement, part of the Bone Thugs and Harmony family tree, the 86ers brand ambassador. Check it out though, listen. In a world full of followers, be proud to be different. Be an 86er. So what I need y'all to do is go to the 86ers.net. We got the dopest apparel, men and women. Everything you need for a fresh start. I'm talking tees, zip-ups, tanks, hoodies, and the best hats at a price nobody can match. I'ma ask you this though. What do your clothes say about you? If you don't know, come to the 86ers.net and find yourself out. And a special shout out to Don McGuire, the host of The Fighter's Voice. Salute, big homie.
Welcome to The Fighter's Voice. I'm your host, Don McGuire. I tell you what, you know, I've been trying to get this young man on my show for the past month. But we finally made it happen. We finally got the opportunity to bring on the one and only Lorenzo Hood. Lorenzo, what's popping, my brother?
What's happening, my boy? What's happening, man? I'm probably happy to be here, man. I'm glad we can make this happen.
Right? You know, hey, that's the thing about life, and I think most people don't understand that. You know, and I even have to catch myself and remind myself, because I believe that God created the path for us all, that we just have to walk it. And whatever adversities or trials and tribulations or triumphs that come that way, life was meant to be that way. And, you know, sitting at 55 years old, bro, I think I know a little bit of something. But, you know, it's an honor to have you on the show. You know, I started thinking, oh, my God, is he going to do me like Shamay Merriman, or is he going to do me like Christian McCain? You know, because you come from that football background, and sometimes it's like that mentality plays a little bit of a role. You know, what is it that had you, Lorenzo, correlate from football to the sport? Because, I mean, you've done everything. I mean, if you look at what your resume, it's impeccable. I mean, you've existed in every aspect of the sport, but what brought you from football into the sport of mixed martial arts, homie?
I think it's the thrill of combat, man. You know, it's the thrill of, you know, obviously you have your coaches, you know, you have your training partners, you have a team, but at the end of the day, man, it's a warrior, man. It's one-on-one combat. You versus one other person. There's no teamwork. Obviously listening to your coaches and your corners, you know, but for the most part, man, it's a one-on-one thing, man. You know, there's no excuses in that thing. I mean, things happen, you know, but it's a man's world right there. You know, obviously men and women both, it's women's world. No one's one-on-one, but you know, at the end of the day, man, it's just that warriors. And I think that's what drew me to it. Cause I was like, oh, there's something about this, that I like. You know, I like the ideal of, you know, putting another man to sleep, you know, or making another man, you know, hit the fetal position, or, you know, and I was like, damn, like, this is cool. You know, obviously, you know, everyone has their own journey to it, but I think that was the biggest intriguing thing for me, that I was just like, man, this one-on-one thing, you know, it's that gladiator mentality that I love, you know, and I think that's what brought me to it.
That's tremendous, because, you know, it's like, I was sitting there thinking about it. I talked to you earlier, and I was like, man, this dude's big. And then it's like you sit back and you look at what you've done in the sport, and I'm thinking, okay, I might be a buck 85. I'm probably still half the size of you. But I know damn well if I was going to face somebody named the Dream Killer, I would have second thoughts, homie, on the real. I mean, what was it? What aspect, I guess would be the best way to say it, what aspect in the sport was it that had, I mean, because this is going to be the only Wikipedia question I'll ask you, but what aspect is it that attached that name to Lorenzo Hood?
You know, so that name is funny, man. So, you know, we were going through a bunch of different names, trying to figure out which one we thought would be, you know, most appropriate, and you know what we thought would be well. And you know, coming through the amateur rankings, you know, we were coming up, and it was everyone called me the Samoan Silverback because, you know, they said I looked like a silverback gorilla. And then, you know, I was getting ready to fight Jesse Ray Childrey as a pro. And this dude was unstoppable, man. He was running through people, I mean, left and right. So opportunity came, and they were like, hey, listen, nobody wants to fight this guy. Do you want to fight this guy? And, you know, my coaches and me were like, yeah, for sure, let's take the fight. So, you know, leading up to the fight, 6 weeks up to the fight, no one in the world gave me an opportunity to beat this dude. You know, and I'll be honest, you know, like watching this dude, I don't really ever watch opponents. I never watch opponents. He was the first time in my entire career and still the last time that I've ever watched somebody. And he's the reason why I don't watch people. Like I turned on this highlight reel, obviously, and I'm like, holy shit, this dude is a savage. And I was watching this dude like get hit with baseball bats and just kept walking forward, man. So you know, so it really freaked me out. Anyways, needless to say, me and Jesse, we get into the octagon, and like I said, I was a huge underdog in that fight. 16 seconds later, I knocked him out cold in the first round. And, you know, I kind of was screaming, obviously going crazy, and my coach looks at me, and he tells me, he goes, you know, that dude was supposed to go to the UFC after he beat you. And there was another guy we had a fought in my career that was supposed to go to UFC, beat me too. I ended up knocking him out too as well. My coach was like, man, you know what? Y'all here just killing people's dreams, bro. He's like, I think we're just going to call you the dream killer from here on out. And, you know, and that was it, man. It just stuck. And so, you know, we stuck with the dream killer, man, because, you know, it was just, you know, it just kind of hit home for us all.
Yeah. See, what's trip, bro, is like, I found out a little tidbit of information about you, and it kind of threw me back in my life for a minute. And this goes to show you, people think this sport is huge, but it goes to show you how small it really is. I used to be one of the owners of Global Proving Ground, an organization that you fought in. And
yes, sir.
It was like, when I saw that, I was like, that's crazy, you know? And, you know, because I look at my life, and I know thousands of people, and those were some crazy days in my life because I didn't really like the way that promotion did the fighters.
And I had a moment,
we could talk for days, bro. Trust me.
Yeah, that's the worst. Man, that was one of the worst fights in my that whole experience for me was the worst. But anyways, you know, shit happens. We'll talk about that another time.
Yeah. But, you know, I wanted out. And the crazy thing is, I had Shelby Shogun Graham come up to me, and I happened to manage him at the time, and he said, bro, I need you to get me out of my contract. You know, because what they did, and I'll tell the people because I didn't even know this was correlated to the promotion. They would sign people to two-year deals. You might get to fight once or twice a year, but they made you travel with them, so they took half your money that they paid you for room and board and everything else. And so really, you were a prisoner. You were a slave. And so he said, get me out of this contract. So I went to James Jefferson, Dan Severn, and a couple other people, Ron Van Cleef, and I said, hey, I'll give up my part of the organization, but I want three fighters released. And that was Shelby Shogun Graham, Marcelo Barrera, and Andrew Sanchez. And, you know, we all know the story about Andrew. He ended up winning Tough 23. He's a tremendous warrior in the UFC. So, hey, I think I got a fair trade considering what GPG brought to the sport. But, you know, it was days like that, Lorenzo, promotions like that, that created the man that you are. You know, because you had to deal with the bullshit. You had to deal with different aspects. And see, a lot of fighters in today's sport, they don't understand that you had to deal with promotions like that to be able to deal with the promotions that you're dealing with today. You know, basically it's earning your stripes in the sport. You know, and a lot of people don't want to do that anymore. How hard was that for you, Lorenzo, to earn your stripes from them crappy-ass regional promotions that took advantage of you to finally getting these opportunities and some major promotions?
You know, so GPG was a tough spot for me, man. You know, I came, you know, that was the first time. So first of all, that fight in itself was the first time I had, in my entire sports career, and I've been a professional athlete for a long time, I had never experienced any type of panic attack or anxiety attack. Like, up until that point, you know, and people are going to get mad because I'm going to say this, but up until that point, I thought that shit was complete bullshit. Like, I never thought that was, like, a real thing. Then, you know, then it happened to me. You know, like the fight started, and I could not breathe. I could not function. Like, nothing was going well. Anyways, needless to say, like, still, you know, everything was good. Going into that, there was a second round, and, like, I still, you know, still, like, even, I don't remember the coach's conversation we had in the corner. It was just a horrible experience. Anyways, needless to say, I got taken down in the second round, and as I hit the ground, my ass cheeks hit the ground, like, my body just kind of relaxed. And it was, like, this weird feeling, man. I could never explain it, and if you've never had one, like, then people can never understand what I'm saying. But as a professional fighter, you can only understand, like, your brain not working, you not being able to throw anything, you not being able to really do anything but just trying to focus on breathing. Anyways, you know, then the guy threw some mysterious elbows that hit the ground. You know, the footage is out there. Everyone sees it. And they called it, the referee ended up calling a fight, saying that I verbally tapped, but then they look at the, you know, everyone looked at the tapes, and, like, he never said a word. You know, and so that, then they gave me a check that bounced in my account, and I never got, you know, so it was just, like, that whole experience, bro, and other experiences as well along the line have really, man, like, molded kind of, like, the guy that I am. It just in general, you know, especially when it comes to the fight game. Those shows, man, like, those types of things that I went through, you know, fighting for $400 in a barn somewhere, you know, and walking away with a $1,500 medical bill, you know, like, so those things, like, in the very beginning of my career, you know, those things all have helped just kind of define me. Like, you know, I really believe, and I have a tattoo on my chest, like, adversity introduces a man to himself. I've been through plenty of adversity, man. I've had tons of adversity, some that I brought on myself and some that I just, you know, I just couldn't get out of the way of. And, you know, I really believe that just helps you out as a man, you know, in life, because not everything always is going to go as planned. You know, not everything you set into motion is going to go as smooth as you want it to. And I think rarely does it ever happen that way. You know, so when it comes to fighting, you know, to be where I'm at today, like, so I retired. So, you know, I'll get into that whole thing, but, like, you know, the whole Bellator thing for me, you know, a lot of people always get, that's probably the most asked question to me. That injury that I sustained before the biggest fight of my life and for the biggest payday of my life, you know, hours before, or, you know, maybe a couple, it was an hour before the showtime. You know, that really messed with me mentally. Because, you know, as a fighter, and you know this, you know, that's how you make your money, is fighting, man. You know, like, I it wasn't like I didn't accept any show money from Bellator. Like, I didn't want any show money. They were going to give it to me, but I didn't take any show money because I was so hurt. I was so sad. I was so messed up by the experience. So then that knee injury that I ended up sustaining that day, ended up getting it worked on, getting it fixed. That same knee injury caused me to retire from the sport altogether because I just couldn't train the right way. I couldn't wrestle. I couldn't do any jiu-jitsu. I really couldn't even throw many kicks. It really hampered, you know, being something that I love to do, which is being an athletic heavyweight, you know, something that I pride myself on being. So ultimately that led to me retiring. And then in 2018, I came out of retirement to fight Ronald Carter for a belt. At Las Vegas Nights, or maybe it was last year, 19 or 18, one of the two, came out, fought him. I know he was a high bet man. He fought everybody in the sport. Ended up knocking him out in the first round. And then I was like, okay, I'm not going to fight anymore for a year or a year and a half, maybe even more, because all I want to do is I just want to wrestle and do jiu-jitsu. I don't want to fight. I just want to do wrestling and jiu-jitsu. And so because that's the one thing that everyone has always talked about my game, and the one thing that even I know myself had always been, like, this guy's 14-4, he has 14 first-round knockouts, but if he goes to the ground, you're going to beat him. You know, and that really bothered me, because I'm like, yo, like, little, I just couldn't train it, because my leg, you know, just hurt, and I wouldn't want to risk not fighting because you need the money to fight. So, for 2 years now, man, a year and a half, about a year and 8 months, man, I've been just wrestling and jiu-jitsu, man, because, and I was pro boxing as well, you know, but I was doing ton, and that's what I've been doing, man, because when this fight comes out, and those of you that know, obviously I'm fighting April 25th, and a huge promotion, very well run for a belt, one of the biggest fights of my life, biggest payday of my life. There's nothing in this world, aside from God himself, that can help, that will make me lose this fight, you know, because I'm going to come out and show the world something that they haven't seen, come out and show the world something that, you know, that they don't understand, you know, because they're going to be like, yo, this guy right here, wait, this guy's wrestling, this guy's picking double, you know, they're going to see things that I've never done before.
You know, it's a trip, because before that even takes place, and we'll get to that in just a moment here, before that, you're fighting this weekend in BYB. I mean, what has you wanting to stay so active? I mean, you know, I know that there's certain aspects of the sport that you've put yourself in that you really don't care for, that you want to, you know, hurry up and wrap things up and, you know, move on with the career. But this weekend you're in BYB. What does that opportunity mean for you? Because you got to be kind of cool on this fight this weekend. Because if something happens, God forbid, you know, April 25th isn't really going to look so pretty, bro.
Yeah, man. You know, so that's a lot of people have been getting a lot of slack for that. Especially because it looks like we're fighting, you know, this weekend, April 25th, June 1st, and then June 20th back for the Contender Show again. So, you know, I'm trying to be as active. I'm trying to come back, man. I not only make a comeback, man, but just I just want to give back to where I was, you know, and I want to show the world, you know, exciting fights, man. Like, I just want to show people exciting fights, and I want to be part of exciting fights. Now, in regards to the bare knuckle thing. So, obviously, man, extremely dangerous. It's a very dangerous sport. I, not that I'm going to come out and fight, I don't want to say differently, but I'm just going to come out and be technical, extremely technical, man, and make it an extremely technical fight, man, because, like I said, the bigger picture for me is April 25th. You know, this fight is awesome, and it's cool and stuff like that, man, but for me, like, that has no bearings as to, like, what I'm trying to accomplish. And my whole mindset, my whole goal, everything that I'm busting my ass 8 hours, 10 hours a day for is for Richard White, April 25th. You know, so this fight right here, to me, honestly, man, no disrespect. I love the sport. You know, I'm a big fan of bare knuckle. But for me, this is like an exhibition match for me. This is like an exhibition sparring match for me where, you know, we're going to go in there and we're going to win the rounds or knock the dude out or whatever it takes. But what we're trying to do in this fight is make sure we take no damage. You know, we don't want to break no hands. We don't want no cuts. We don't want no headbutts. We don't want anything that possibly that will, you know, linger over to April 25th, man, because I'm not a bare knuckle guy, man. I'm an MMA guy and a boxer. You know, so for me, you know, my whole world and where I think my bread and butter over the next, you know, couple of years are is in MMA. So I definitely got to be extremely careful, you know, with this fight. And, you know, so for me, that's the goal, is come out and be extremely technical, protect myself, and make sure that, you know, a win for me obviously is winning, but a bigger win for me is just making sure we don't sustain any type of damage.
Yeah, see, that's what I was getting at, man, because April 25th is huge for you, bro. And
yeah,
it's like anything can happen, and God forbid, you know, I hope nothing doesn't, but
mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes it's better to wipe off an opportunity knowing that bigger opportunity is around the corner. But, you know, you're a beast, man. You're very passionate about what you do. And I kind of want to touch on that just a little bit, because April 25th, you put out a statement that, bruh, I mean, it was real. And you addressed it to Richie White. You know, what was it in the heart of Lorenzo Hood that had him put his heart, his compassion, his thoughts into a post towards Richie White?
You're probably talking about my post where I just see.
Words can't describe the feeling I have.
Oh yeah, man. You know, bro. You know, it's one of those things, man. Like, there's just it's hard to. Have you ever just wanted something so bad, and you did so much, and you're doing so much for it that you just feel that, like, at some point in time, the physical part of your body and the mental part of your body catch up with each other. And you just feel that everything, yeah, and it's just like you just feel like you're a whole different man. Not only that, man, not only do I have that feeling, but I have the feeling of like, I've always been a hard worker in the gym, man. I've always been a hard worker. But I'm working and training and learning at such a high level right now that I'm just – And I said this to him before, and I'll say it to him again personally. Like, it's no offense to him. Like, this shit is straight business. But, homie, you got to get knocked the fuck out, because I got shit I got to do, man. And I got to, you know, there's some cats right now that are sitting at these high levels, you know, and I'm not even going to call anybody out yet, man, because I still got a long way, and I still got some fights I got to win. But I'm going to say there's some cats right now that are sitting at a high level in the big leagues making tons of money that I done banged out already in training. You know, that I don't hurt, you know, and I'm like, okay. So if you're sitting on top of the island, my boy, and you live in luxurious, just know that I'm busting my ass over here and I'm grinding every single day. And that's my motivation, man. I'm just grinding. So when I put that message out, you know, like, it wasn't me talking shit. It wasn't me saying anything other than just understand that, and a lot of people, you know, they always want to get me to try to say this, say that. Like, I just keep it real. But, like, the true facts of it is that, man, I'm just busting my ass, and I just feel it, man. And I just, you know, sometimes you just feel it. And in this fight and in my future fights, when I feel like when I'm healthy, like I'm finally fully healthy, when I'm training my wrestling, my jiu-jitsu, my kickboxing, my boxing, when I'm getting my cardio up, you know, when I'm doing all these things, man, I just feel like, man, I'm just a whole different breed of a fighter. And again, you know, you know, that's just me, you know, that was just keeping it real. You know, I just had that moment where it was like, you know what, man, like, they sent me my first poster for the fight and all my blood and my adrenaline. And I was just like, oh man, like, this is going to be a good fight. This guy's an extremely, extremely talented wrestler. You know, we're talking about a guy who picked up Sean McCorkle over his head, slammed him on his head, and then tapped him out.
Yeah, it's Sean McCorkle's
big boy. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So, like, this guy that I'm fighting, he's been inactive a little bit, but he's been training. You know, I know he's been training down in Florida. You know, I got a couple cats that are still down there. He's a tough, tough dude, man. And, you know, at the same time that I'm making a comeback, you know, he's making a comeback. So it's not just, you know, you know, you got two guys that were that are extreme veterans of the sport that are trying to make a comeback, trying to get back into the, you know, into the world rankings, trying to come back into the limelight of things. So, you know, I really truly believe that this fight on April 25th will not only be the fight of that night. I truly believe that fight is going to be a showstopper and something that's played on replays, you know, for a while. Because I'm trying to pull off some shit that you ain't never seen, man.
I know it. I already know it already. You know, and to my listeners, you know, I'm not going to read the whole statement, but I'm going to articulate two parts of it into a one-part question because, bruh, that shit was lit. You know, you said you can't cheat the grind. All the heavens and all the hells within me embrace who you are. When you look at Lorenzo Hood, what does that statement truly mean to you?
Man, bro, I've been to some dark, dark places, my boy. And I've been to some extremely, extremely great places. So when I say that, man, you know, I read that somewhere, and I was in it, and I had heard it, and it was something that resonated with me because I feel like when I do something, anything that I do in life, I do it 100%, first of all. Full go, horse blinders on, and just go for it. But in this situation, I just feel like all the force, all my demons, all my angels, everybody, everything that's ever been done wrong to me, everything that I've ever done wrong, everything I've ever done right, and everything that's been done right, it's all with me. It's all force, man. It's all force, man. No, it's all blunt force trauma. You know, like I got a huge tattoo on my leg, man. Those of you that have my Instagram, The Real Dream Killer, if you scroll through my Instagram, I got a huge tattoo on my right leg. It's Venom, which is my favorite comic book character. But above it, it says, "Why should I apologize for the monster I am today when no one apologized for making me this way?"
Right.
And,
I love it.
You know, yeah, man. And that right there, man, is so. When I talk about all the heavens, all the hells, you know, everything is within me, man. It just means that, like, I'm bringing all that, all the damage that has been done throughout my life, all the great, everything, man. You know, and I feel like that in itself, he don't want it like I want it, man. He ain't been through what I've been through. You know, like, when people talk about it, like, I was at the top of the mountaintop, bro. Like, I was getting ready to fight on pay-per-view around the world, you know, and had it taken away from me, you know. And, again, like, it shit happens. You know, things happen in life. You know, I'm not one of these guys that cry over, you know, spilled milk. But so when I say that I'm coming back full force, healthy, ready to go, and ain't nothing stopping me, man, like, that's what I mean. I mean, like, I'm just coming with everything that's inside of me. And they're going to have to shoot me dead in that damn cage to get a win.
Well, yeah, bro, because if anybody knows anything about your career, it's like you said, you climbed that mountain. So now you gotta climb that mountain again. So you're coming with more due diligence. You're coming with a little bit more veracity than you did the first time, because if I know you like I know you since we've been talking, man, you sure as hell ain't going to climb that mountain the third time. You know,
this is it, bro. Like, I'm climbing to the mountaintop for real. Like, I'm on my way. Obviously, you know, April 25th is the first step in that. And then I'm not stopping until I get back there. I'm not stopping until, you know, I'm wearing a belt from one of these major organizations, and I'm not stopping. And even at that point, you know, maybe that's it for me. You know, maybe once I get to big shows and I get a belt up there, maybe I'm like, okay, I've proven to myself. Because for me, man, I think we talked about this earlier, like, I ain't got shit to prove to nobody else but myself. You know, this is a one-man race. I stopped trying to prove myself to people a long time ago. You know, like, this race now is just about me, man. It's about, you know, what I owe to myself. You know, and like I said, so being to the top of the mountaintop now and getting back there, you know, ain't no third tries, ain't no fourth tries. This is it, you know. Give it everything you got every single day. And go out there and put it all on the line, man. And I feel like people got to respect you for that.
Well, they got to, bro. And, you know, it's like, I respect you because I know a little bit about you. You know, a lot of stuff out there, I'm going to tell my listeners, if you go and look, don't look too deep because, man, they got the internet so screwed up. If you want to find anything, you got to go to Homie's page. I mean, because I tell you what, even as a seasoned veteran and what I do, is I was just like, hey, I'm going to call the man himself because this stuff is whacked. You know, and that's why, you know, all those guys that do those Wikipedia and Tapology shows, that's why you're still where you're at, because if it doesn't come from the heart, it ain't real. If it comes from something you just looked at and try to reconstruct it, it ain't going to get you nowhere. You know,
yeah.
We talk about perseverance. We talk about there is no climbing that mountain twice, you know, and that's cool, man. That's what life is really about. And we talk about how adversity built you. But when you get that opportunity, homie, and you're laying in bed and you're deep in thought, who does Lorenzo Hood really see, really think about, and really try to portray in life?
Man, you know, when it comes to the mental aspect of all of these things that I've gone through or all the things that I'm trying to accomplish, I honestly, man, I find myself, I've grown so much over the past couple of years, man. I've just grown, you know, like, you know, and as you grow, you start to appreciate life. You start to appreciate even the shit that used to irritate you, start to appreciate it, man, because you understand that everything in life has its place. So when I'm sitting down, man, and I'm like thinking, like, you know, who do I want to be or what do I have to, you know, all that comes to my mind, man, is that I know that I want something more. I know that I can, that I, you know, like, I know that I can have, you know, let's just say, like, you know, whatever, like, you know, let's just say that at the top of the world was this ice cube, you know, and you had to climb to get up there. Like, I know in my head that I can make it to the top of that mountain to get that ice cube. So every day that I wake up and I'm tired, or I'm sore, or I'm in pain, and I don't want to go train, or I'm heavy, and I know I got to drop 40 pounds, and I'm doing all these things, the only thing that I think about is I got to get to the top of this mountain because that ice cube's right there, and I know only I can get there. Ain't nobody going to help me up there. Nobody's going to, you know, no. And honestly, if I never make it up there, nobody would ever care. They would just say, like, oh, I told you he could never get there. And that's just for me. I'm like, screw what they say. What do I believe? Do I truly believe I can get there? So when you talk about, you know, getting to the top of the fight game again, when you talk about, like, overcoming things, like, bro, I sit back, I smile, and every day I'm like, hey, I got to get one step closer. So what do I got to do? Oh, I got to go do this. Oh, I got to go to that. Oh, I got to go work out. Oh, I got to go hit this cardio. Hey, it's 10 o'clock, you know, like, I got to cut out all the sugars. I got to cut out all my diet. You know, like, I can sit here all day and talk about the sacrifices, but we all make sacrifices, you know? So, you know, it's not about that. But for me, it's just about knowing and keeping it real with myself and understanding that the day that I stop chasing, you know, to get to the top of that mountain, well, that's the day I'll stop doing anything combative sports or anything sports in general, because I don't want to cheat the game. I don't want to cheat the grind.
Oh, most definitely. You know, that would, I used this analogy before, but I think it's tremendous because basically you could put what you're saying into a nutshell by utilizing Martin Luther King. You know, if brother would have stood up and said, instead of saying, I had a dream, what if Martin Luther King would have sat up and said, if I had a dream? You know,
yeah.
Where would we be
yeah,
today?
Man. Yeah, man.
You know, you got to live. You got to live your dreams. You know, I'm grateful. You know, I got a second chance at life, and I took on to the sport. But one reason why I did was because, you know, my grandfather always taught me, give back to those who give to you. And, you know, the sport has taken care of my family for 24 years. They put food on my table. And that's why I do this show for you fighters, because, you know, for one, it's real, and another, it's my only way to give back. It's my only way to let the fighters truly have a voice, and I don't charge nobody nothing. I don't make a penny off this show. I do it because of young warriors like you that are living that dream, that aren't finding excuses on why they couldn't, wouldn't, shouldn't. You know, you're looking for the answers. You know, you're
yeah.
making your comeback. You know, and that says a lot about you. That speaks so profoundly about you, homie, because it's like a lot of people, after what you went through, they would have walked away. They said, oh, it's too hard to come back. But as many of my listeners know, Diego Lima, true testament to that story. You know, he walked
yeah,
away
amazing
from the
fighter,
sport.
By the way.
Yeah. Oh, dude. Love the dude. That's my family. See, one thing I love about this sport, and I told you on the private, and I'll tell you in real life because I'm transparent. I don't care if you're 2-24 or 24-2. I let a fighter that was 0-6 from Bellator come on my show and say his farewell to the sport. People ask me, why did you do that, brother? And I said, because that man showed to his kids, to his people, and to the sport, that whenever you set your mind to doing something, you see it through.
Yep.
You know, what does it mean for Lorenzo Hood to see things through in life?
You know, so being honest, man, you know, being transparent, that's one, you know, something that, you know, sometimes it's not, you know, questions or you do interviews or people ask you random things and, you know, you got to make the decision right there. Like, oh, do I, Do I tell the truth? Do I make up some type of story? Do I tell a half-truth? So in my life, bro, and up until probably a couple of years ago, seeing shit through was something that I lacked in. Hardcore, bro. It was easy for me to get to the top of the mountaintop, like, you know, in anything. Like a WWE tryout, bro. You know, playing in the NFL, playing in the XFL, playing in the CFL. You know, going in a block, like, man, I could do anything, because based on the fact that God gave me an athletic ability and hard work. You know, I'd always been a hard worker. But seeing shit through, man, my personal life, my you know, everything. I never was good at it, man. You know, because I felt like at some point I was just waiting for the rug to get pulled underneath me, man. And I always felt like I'm going to bust my ass to get to the top of this hill, the top of this mountain. And then when I get there, I'm going to get within arm's reach and something bad is going to happen, bro. And legit, man, that was my mindset on everything, because that's what had happened to me my whole life, man. And some of it was self-induced. Some of it was not. You know, some of it was just, you know, shit luck, man, just how it goes. But, you know, so it wasn't until really like 2 years, I want to say 2 years, a year, that I really started to hone in on, like, well, why are these things not working? And the one thing that I had to, like, come to terms with was the common denominator in all these things was me. So it was really hard for me to, man, to come to terms with that shit and to eat and swallow, you know, some of those things, and like, damn, like, I'm not finishing shit, I'm starting shit. So, you know, it's funny, at the gym today, this kid asked me, he goes, and he's you know, not a young kid, but he's a guy, he's a fighter, he goes, man, he goes, you know, when I look up your stuff, man, your stuff's all over the internet, he goes, you are already at the top, you know, well, what happened? And so I sat there and I said, hey, listen, man, I said, you know, I was at the top, yes, and it didn't happen. And now, you know, you start at ground zero again, which I'm not really starting at ground zero, but, you know, that's the way I take it. So for me, man, I think that's just part of my story, man. It's going to be part of the story that I get to tell to people someday. Like, it would have been so easy for me to retire, 14-4, 14 first-round knockouts. I got highlight knockouts. You can look on the internet and see I got slams, elbows, knees. I got knockouts, and I could retire 14-4. And went down with 6 championships or 7 championships from different promotions, some heavy, some super heavy, and just been like, hey, listen, like, I did it. You know, I did it at the highest level. I got in there. I competed. I did what I needed to do. But, you know, it just wouldn't let me, man. My mind, my body, just restless when it comes to this. Like, there's just something inside of me that's like, yo, bro, we're not done yet. We got lots to do. Still young. We got so much to do. And I think, honestly, it just comes from what you just talked about, how that I've changed over the past. I started this thing a long time ago, and now I got to finish it. And that's something that I've really, again, focused on, you know, now. So that's the difference, man. Man, that's the reason that I'm back making this comeback. That's the reason that I'm back, you know, doing these things, is because I want to finish it. And how it goes down at the end, I don't care. Now, obviously, I'm busting my ass to make sure that it goes down in a great way, but just the fact that I'm going to finish it, you know, for me, that's more of the blessing for me.
Hell yeah, because it makes April 25th that much sweeter, bro. It really does. I mean, a lot of people might not realize that, but, you know, to have to walk that path twice and finally to get that opportunity to show the world again, to hold that belt up in the air, you know, is a different aspect. But you know what, Lorenzo, I don't really think it's about a belt with you, bro. After sitting here talking with you and listening to you, it's not a belt, man.
No, it's not about a belt, man.
You know, what is it that is the best way you could explain the intent?
What it's about for me?
Yeah.
Oh, man, dude. You know, man, it's just for me, yeah, it's not about the belt, man. It's not about, you know, obviously I'm excited, you know, don't get me wrong. I'm excited to fight for it. I'm excited to fight for this huge company, up-and-coming company. company that's going to do big things. Like, I'm excited to get back to, you know, to walk that walk, you know, that, you know, but for me, man, like I said, man, I just feel like, I feel like there's a chapter in my life, you know, that I started writing, and I feel like I was just starting to get to the good shit, and then I had, like, writer's block, you know, like, and then it was just like, oh my God, I can't write another damn word in here. And then it just was like, you know, you put the book down and you stop writing, and then time goes on and a year goes by and 2 years goes by and 3 years goes by, and everybody who was excited and waiting for that book to come out has forgotten about it because they're like, oh, well, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So, you know, now I get to, I'm like, okay, like, cool, man. Like, it's cool to be in a position I'm in today because, you know, the, you could fade into the background and just sit back and be like, oh, yeah, man, I was, you know, people knew who I was. I was on radio shows. I was on podcasts. I was on TV shows. I was on TV. I was signing posters. I was signing autographs. I was getting $10,000 a month in investments. I was, you know, one of the top teams in the world. But what does all that shit mean? You know, what is, all that shit is awesome, but it doesn't define you. You know what I'm saying?
Amen to that. You know, Lorenzo, it's kind of cool, man. And like I said, my show is really just a chill, homie to homie, like, just laid back. But I really got to know this question, man, because it's bugging me, man. It's like, I listen to you speak and you articulate. You're very mindful and powerful with your words. But, you know, in life, like with me, it was my grandfather who gave me an enlightening path or a word or a push, and it made me realize what it is to be true to not only to yourself but to people in life. When you look at Lorenzo Hood, not your teammates, not your coaches, not your management, but back from when life was real, when life was really an aspect that you were just becoming who you were, who was it that gave you those words of wisdom, that push of intent, led you down that path that would forever ingrain you into the man you are today?
Oh, man. Dude, growing up, I was a shithead.
Right?
You know, I was, you know, I was a reckless, man, I would say the police precincts wherever I was living at. That's the ones who gave me words of advice. But, you know, bro, you know, I didn't have much of a good, you know, a good thing going growing up. So I can't really go to that. But I will say, you know, I would have to say it's two people, man. It's definitely two people. Coach Fry, he was he was one of my good friend's fathers. He took time to kind of be there for me since I didn't have one. Show me the ropes, you know, take me to get fades and show me what like aligning is and what it's like to like look good. And, you know, he, so many different other things, man, you know, as well as, you know, did so many great things for me, you know, and even talking about him right now, I'm like, damn, I haven't hit him up in a while. And after this show, I'm going to hit him up and just to say thank you. And then, man, my head coach, man, Coach Paul, man, we met, I want to say 6-7 years ago today, 8 years. That dude, man, and, you know, the closest thing ever happened. And that dude, man, we've been through some shit. We've been through, and we've been great time. We might have thought that, you know, that you never would ever see, or that you wish another man would never have. But that dude, man, I love him. I love his kids like they're my own. You know, his wife, his kids call me uncle. You know, I mean, like, that dude has changed my life. That dude has changed the way I see things. That dude has changed so much about me. You know, and we've grown on each other and we've made each other better men. You know, and yeah, so you know, it'd definitely be Robert Fry and you know, Paul Reinhardt, man. you know, those are dudes that I'll never be able to. There's nothing I can ever do in life to show them how they changed my life and how grateful I am. But, you know, they know it. So, you know, when you ask me that question, I say those dudes right there.
Yeah, that's what, see, that's what's dope about life, man. I'm like you, man. I had a fucked up life. You know, I was, I ain't gonna lie. You know, I'm proud. I'm from the project.
No,
but,
man. Hey, listen. Yeah, man.
You know, but the thing about your story, and I want my listeners to really understand and download this episode, because the more downloads we get, the more airtime we get, you know, next week in succession on iHeart and Univision. But the thing of it is, man, you're proof that no matter what hand you get dealt, you can still rise up. You can still become what you want to be. And that right there is the truest form of, you know, giving back in life, because with that aspect, you're showing the young kids in the gym, the young people who follow you in life and admire you in sport, that you're not a quitter, that you got to continue, you got to fight that struggle. And life is tremendous in that way, because, bro, I'm going to tell you, I know how you think, because I've been your age once. And then you hit 50. You hit 50, and then you're like, man, what in the hell have I done for 50 years? And then, you know, now that I'm 55, I just look at myself and I say, but damn, man, I'm a grumpy old man. And I really am, because, you know, after all these years on this earth, I realized something that I should have realized when I was your age. I ain't got to take nobody's shit.
Yeah, man.
You know, I just got to be me. And if you don't like me or respect me for what I do and for who I am, then I don't need you. And I think it shocked a lot of the sport. You know, how does that play out in your thoughts, bro?
Well, first of all, like, that shit is like gospel, what you just said. But, you know, for me, man, everything, just to go touch on what you said, like, everything in my life has been unconventional, bro. There's been nothing conventional about the way that anything has ever happened. It's never been conventional. And you know what? And honestly, like, you know, when people ask me, or I sit down and talk to people, or, you know, they're like, you know, the one thing I can always say is, listen, like, life is a brutal mother beeper, man. Life will beat the shit out of you, and it won't care anything about you. You know, if you never get up, if you lay in the corner for the rest of your life, it won't care. And, you know, you got to just know. And I guess for me, it's always been the, and I don't want to say like a pride thing, but I think for me, it's just always been like, I got to get up, man. You know, like, and here, I'll give you an example in my life of something that really changed my life. So, like most of my fans know, obviously I had torn my PCL, my LCL, and did some more cartilage damage to my knee right before the biggest fight of my life, Bellator. Had got it, you know, biggest payday, biggest fight of my life, whatever, bam, get injured. I went through a depression. I went through all types of wrong shit. I rehabbed. I got healthy. I felt like life was going to be good. You know, I went down to New Jersey, fought against, had a panic attack in the ring, you know, finally got rid of the panic attack, and then got screwed on a call. End up losing the fight. You know, we can test the fight, whatever. They agree with us that we never verbally tapped, but they say that they can't overturn it because the referee called the decision what it was. Whatever. That same fight, I don't get paid. I get a bogus check, and it bounces. I'm like, okay, whatever. I'm still slowly healing. You know, I'm still recovering, whatever. I get ready. I get another opportunity. World Series of Fighting comes about. And I'm like, oh, shit. Like, now here's my chance. Like, I'm so beyond ready, man. Like, you know, we're training. I feel like my knee's like 85% healed, and I'm like, we should be good to go. I shoot a commercial for one of my sponsors at the time, which was Grunt Style. Shooting a commercial. In the commercial, there's a 12. They're holding this pad on a ladder, and it's 12 feet high. And we had practiced it probably 15, 20 times. I threw a flying knee. Now, I was throwing a flying knee 12 feet high in the air, and I was landing it, and it looked sick in the commercial. Shooting a promo commercial for all different types of things. So finally, we go to film it. I go to throw the flying knee. As I throw the flying knee, as soon as I land, my knee tweaks. And I knew it instantly. Like, I just knew instantly that something was not right as soon as I landed. And I'm a tough dude, man, you know. So I'm like, and the fight is within a week. Now I'm like, there's no way I can pull out of this fight. Like, this just can't happen. I don't care what happens in this fight, but I just know that I have to fight. So a lot of people don't understand this, and here's the fighter's mentality. And a lot of people will say something. A lot of people are like, there's a lot of bullshit out there. But the true fact of it is, so I re-tore my LCL and my MCL and re-damaged the cartilage that I already had fixed. So we go commission, and obviously you have to pass tests and physicals and everything for the doctors. So I couldn't do certain things, but I was trying my ass off because I'm like, yo, listen, I cannot not fight. Because here I am, another grand stage, fights on NBC, World Series of Fighting, going to be huge. So the commission lets me fight. I have to pay a penalty for being injured and coming to the fight anyways. So I ended up having to pay money. I had to pay a penalty on that, as well as pay another fine for not listing that I had, you know, that I was injured on the way. Whatever. Anyways, I fought. I went in the first round. At the end of the first round, kind of just got lazy for a second, man. And he was – this dude never threw leg kicks, whatever. He threw leg kicks the whole fight. Was hitting my same knee. Yeah, obviously, he saw me in a brace. He saw me limping, everything. So he was smart, man. I would have did the same thing. So nothing against him. It's a beautiful fight, whatever. I ended up losing that fight in the first round in a guillotine. I couldn't even really walk. So now you have a guy who has given everything he's had in life to get to the top of the mountain. And both times that he's gotten to the big show, to the big dogs, to making big money, the one time I got injured before the fight, second time I got injured before the fight, but I still fight anyways because I didn't want, you know, because I listened to all the bullshit. I listened to all the people like around me, all the reports, all the fucking phony shit of, oh, well, you know, he just doesn't want it, or maybe he faked it. You know, I'm all this bullshit. And I'm like, you know, so I wanted to go out there and say, like, hey, listen, like, whether I win or lose, like, I fought with this injury. I did what I needed to do. It hurt like hell. I damaged it more. And it was part of the reason, again, that I ended up retiring, because this isn't for me. Like, I've gotten here twice and both times been hurt, and I don't want to be hurt in my life all the time, you know, and it was hard. So every day now, man, and to look in the mirror and look at the guy that I was 3-4 years ago, you know, who was dealing with all that shit, and look at the guy I am today, man, I'm a whole different person, man. I'm a whole different human being. But, you know, like, that's what I mean when I tell people, like, adversity, like, what are you willing to deal with in order to get your goal? You know, in anything you do in life, whether it be, you know, to get a promotion at work, or, you know, to become a champion of something, or to play a sport, or become the best damn paper, you know, paper man you can be, you know. So it's just about perseverance, man. So my life, me in general, as a human being, as a man, it's all about perseverance, all about adversity. Like, and I'm still standing here today, ready to climb that fucking mountain, ready to go beat the hell out of Richard White and everybody else that I step in the cage with, not because I'm Billy Badass, but because I know that they haven't been through what I've been through to get here.
Man, really, it's adversity built, passion created, and heart motivated. I mean, it really is, bro. And the reason I know that is because, I'm going to tell you a little story before I let you off the air here real quick. I mean, I could sit and talk to you for hours, homie. But, you know, halfway through my career as a photographer, you know, I started out in boxing, and then I got an opportunity about UFC 3. You know, and I'd already been with Pride and Glory and different aspects all over the world. And then I find out I'm diabetic. Okay, cool. No problem. You know, next thing I know, they tell me how they're going to have to amputate my leg. And, man, I was just, I was peaking. I was at the top of my game, you know, and I did it without any training, any schooling whatsoever. And so it was like, fuck, you know, it's like you, I'm at the top of the mountain. I'm living my dream and it's gone. And so I sat in that bed and I was feeling sorry for myself. And then I had a gentleman by the name of Zach Cummings, who's in the UFC. He hit me up, and he used to work at the hospital. And he told me, he said, man, you want to shoot my fight? And I was like, you know, I'd already got my prosthetic and everything and this and that, but I was still feeling sorry for myself. And so when Zach brought this opportunity to me, I was like, you know what, yeah. And because Kimbo Slice was, I think, the co-main on this card. And so I stood up, man. I rose up, and I told myself that I was going to do this. And I did it. And let me tell you something, homie. If I thought the first part of my career made me, then I don't know what the second part of my career did, because I found the greatest passion, the greatest love, and put out some of the greatest work, and was inducted into the Hall of Fame twice after losing my life.
Yeah.
And you know, I was on actually inside the STL on CBS just about a week ago, and they asked me if you could get your leg back, if you could go back in time and get your leg back, would you? And my answer was hell no, because I didn't understand life. I didn't appreciate life. And I didn't love life until I lost part of who I am.
And yeah.
You know what? It takes that for a warrior to rise up. And that's what I see in you, Lorenzo. I mean, bruh, you as real as it come. So I'm going to ask you to make a statement for me, because I mean, you got fights lined up left and right here, bro. But if you had to make a statement to the sport, or to the people that didn't believe in you, or just any aspect, if you had to make a statement for the world to get to know who the Dream Killer is, what would that statement be?
Man, there's... Let me see. Oh, man, that's a tough one, man. So honestly, man, you know, if you would have asked me this question a couple of years ago, I would have had a whole bunch of bad words to say about a bunch of shit. You know, about those that I felt did me wrong, or those that didn't believe, or, you know, now all I can say is, man, thank you. I say thank you to all those people who never believed in me, or didn't believe in me, or who were like, oh, I'm so happy he failed, or so happy he got hurt, or, you know, anybody who wished anything bad upon me. Like, I say thank you to those people, because honestly, man, there's been days, and there's still are, you know, there's still days where I get up and I'm like, there's people praying on my downfall right now. I know people see me like, they're like, damn, this dude is doing good. You know, he's driving nice cars. He's got life doing good. Like, damn, I can't wait for something bad to happen to him. So it's those people that make me want to get up every day. It's a lot of those things, man. It's a mixture of combination. So my statement would be this. I guess my statement from the Dream Killer would be, throughout all that has happened, through all the downfalls, all the terror, all the dark nights, man, I'm still standing here. I'm still smiling. And there ain't shit in life that can defeat me except God himself. So for all those people that wished all the bad shit upon me, thank you. I love you. I love them the same way I love the people that are close to me. Because without those haters, without all that hate, that animosity, that all that anger that I had, I wouldn't have grown into the man I am today.
Amen.
So I say thank you to them.
That's dope, bro. Because you know, I hate to be Richie White. I really would. I'd hate to be Richie White, man. You know,
yeah, man.
I think it's people in this sport that will really understand that, because you know, this sport is not for the faint of heart, the weak of heart. And I tell you what, if you fake, they're going to eat you up in a heartbeat. You know, a lot of these casual fans on social media don't know that. They don't realize that. But you know what? I want to ask you one more question, if you don't mind, before I let you go, brother.
No, bro, go ahead, man.
You know, because it was, I've been in the sport forever, but this is the first time I ever had a fighter articulate a question like this, and it was cool. You know, I had asked them, you know, there was so much adversity going into your fight. You guys had words for each other, and, you know, it seemed there was a lot of hate. But yet, after the fight, what was correlated? And the fighter told me, you know what, man? It's dope because you may hate a man going into a ring, cage, or on a mat, but once you shed blood with him, once you shed pain with him, you've created a bond. You've created a friendship for life. Would you say that that aspect has portrayed itself in the life of Lorenzo Hood?
Man, you know that's a tough one, man. And it depends. Like, there's certain guys that I shared the cage with or the ring with, and I could say, you know, like, even a good example would be, like, after I beat Jesse Ray Childrey, I'll never forget, man. I hugged him and I whispered in his ear, you know, when they woke him back up and they checked, cleared him and everything, and we hugged. And I'll never forget, man. I whispered in his ear. I said, "Listen, brother. I said, I would love to be the wrestler that you are. I would more than happy to have you come down here and train with me, or me come train with you, you know." And there was a respect, you know, that you develop. And I've had that for most of my fights. Now, there's a couple guys that I just have zero respect for. But you know, like, when you share the ring with somebody and you share the octagon and you share pain together, there's a general respect that is brought upon that. You know, it's kind of like growing up, man. Like, you know, and you probably can attest to this. You know what it's like growing up in the hood, man, kind of growing up ghetto and stuff like that, man. Like, you get into a fight with one of your homies or something outside, like, you're not running to go tell someone's mom. Like, you two dap it up afterwards, and you know, one of you might have a busted lip or broken nose, busted eye or whatever. You know, you shake hands, and you're like, "Yo, all right, we're over it. Let's keep it moving."
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of like, in fighting, obviously, it's a little different than that, because sometimes I feel like guys have to, and believe me, like, I'm part of this, like, growing up. Like, you have to portray a role. You have to kind of be somebody different, right? Like, because if you're yourself, a lot of times you think that won't sell tickets, that won't sell T-shirts, that won't sell social media. Like, I'm not going to get picked up by the UFC or Bellator or Titan or any of these shows if I'm just plain ass me. You know, like, and a lot of people feel like they got to go this extra mile and all of a sudden create this type of alter ego to be. And believe me, like, I get them to, like, damn, I got to act like this, so I got to be that. And it's like, you don't have to. So when you go into, like, when you share the cage with somebody, you share the ring, like, this ain't personal, man. Like, this is business, my boy. Like, and sometimes it can get personal in some people's aspects, but, like, if you treat it as business, you'll never allow it to get personal, man, no matter what they say, because you understand kind of, like, what you do, man. You understand that no matter what you say, man, like, I can give two shits about it, because, like, at the end of the day, I'm still going to be me. When I put my head down and I fall asleep on this pillow and I wake up tomorrow, I'm going to still be me, and I know who I am. You know, like I told you earlier in our private conversation, I said, if you ask, you know, one of the greatest things I heard and I've ever heard in life, it was, not everybody deserves the same version of you. You know,
amen.
So those people that love you and those that hate you, then, you know, there's a reason why, you know, because you gave them that version of yourself, because maybe they didn't deserve the other loving, caring person, the version of who you are, or whatever versions you may have out there. You know, so in this sport and in many, man, the one thing I can say is that I have a respect for anyone who, one, is around the sport, or people who help publicize the sport or bring the sport to life in different avenues and different venues, maybe not even real fight, maybe not even fighters, but, you know, those who photographer or videotape or bring the sports, give it a different light. They just bring it life, man. And I respect everybody who's ever put on, you know, a pair of gloves, you know, and boxing, or gloves, who put on a pair of gloves and shoes and have ever stepped into a ring or have ever stepped into a cage. Man, you got to respect it, man, because it's not something that everybody can do. Shit, man, I still get nervous about it, and I'm a veteran. of this shit. Kickboxing and boxing of MMA, and I still get, like, even right now, thinking about getting ready to step into the cage with Richard White, I'm like, man, there's a part of nerves that kick into that. You know what I'm saying? Now, obviously, you know, if they're good nerves and you use those nerves to, you know, you got to use those to turn those into, you know, your animal instincts and help that be on your game. But, you know, it's, you know, you just got to be real, man. And I, honestly, I think that that's the biggest difference in my 2 years, bro. Like, just being real with who I am, being real with what I'm good with and what I'm not good with, and understanding that it all starts and finishes with me, man. You know, in order to get to the top of that mountaintop, it starts with me. It starts with getting up and starting that day, starting that grind, starting that diet, starting everything you got to do. Yo, yo. Hello? Hello? Hello, hello? Oh, man, I got disconnected. Hello? Hello, hello? 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 Hello, hello? Hello? Don. Don.
I apologize. I don't know what happened. It even booted me out.
Hello?
Hey, Lorenzo. I apologize. I don't know what happened. It even booted me out. Sometimes the system does that when you're working through a plug-in. But, you know, I get what you were saying, and I apologize for the technical difficulties. But it's
no,
it's
okay.
Shows.
No worries, man.
So we kind of got to keep things going. But, yeah. Homie, it was a true honor and a privilege, you know. And to go off what you said before we both got kicked off, in life, not everybody even has the right to know you. So,
yeah.
You know, and I think that's a very deep aspect because, you know, I used to be like you, homie, I, in a lot of aspects. But as I got older, you know, the great Jacob Stitch Turan told me, not everybody has a right to know who you are. And to me, that's the deepest thought that I've ever learned in my life. But with that being said, before we probably get kicked off because we've been going through tornadoes and stuff because I live in the South, you know, Lorenzo, you got an opportunity this weekend at BYB, April 25th, and Contenders, you're fighting for the title. What would you like to say to the fans of the Dream Killer as you step into these two outings?
Man, you know, all my fans, you know, that have been supporting me for the longest, you know, I just want to say thank you. It's been a journey. And, you know, April 25th is the start of what, it's the start of just, you know, it's just the beginning, man. April 25th is just the beginning. And I promise that every fight that I ever go into for the rest of my life will be the most exciting, most fun-filled fights that you'll see, because you'll see a man that's not fighting for his life. You'll see a man that's just fighting for everything that he's ever wanted. So I promise one thing. I promise to keep it fun. I promise to, you know, give the fans something to remember. And I promise that when it's said and done, that my career will have a part A and a part B like you had. And I promise you, part B man, it's going to be so much better than Part A. And Part B begins April 25th.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait. Brother, I'm truly honored you came on the show. I apologize again for the technical difficulties. I got kicked off like you did. And, you know, when you try to do a show via plug-in, I can't be in New York every day of the week. Plus, I wouldn't even want to be there, especially Jamaican Queens. But, you know, I love where I live, man, in the South, but we got to deal with tornadoes. We got to deal with snow, thunderstorms, everything. You know, it's kind of crazy. But, you know, I appreciate you coming on the show, keeping it real. You know, I'll send you the FM transmitter link. It's a little bit better of a link.
Yeah,
the show
definitely
is transmitted out live on FM radio as we're live. So I apologize to those listeners, too. You know, it was truly an honor, and I'm truly humbled. I'm going to pass the mic to you, Lorenzo. Do you have any sponsors, friends or family, or any social media sites, or just anything else you'd like to add to the program before I let you go, bro? The floor is yours, homie.
Definitely, man. Well, first of all, I want to say, dude, it's been an honor and a pleasure to even be on your show, man. Somebody with such a pedigree and background like you, man, I appreciate you having me on the show. You know, so that's one. You know, I'm humbled to even be here. Two, man, I want to say, you know, on my social medias, you guys can find me on Instagram, The Real Dream Killer. You can find me on Facebook, Lorenzo Hood. You know, I try to, you know, get on there as much as I can. I have somebody who deals with it, but I try to get on there just to have my own personal touch on it as well. My coach, Paul Rhino, my head coach, man, you know, and anybody, you know, those in my small circle, I have a very small circle, and they know who you are. I love you, and thank you for being there for me. Thank you for giving me the will to get up and fight every single day when I didn't want to. And, you know, without those group of people, man, I couldn't even say that the man that stands here today would even be here. So thank you to all those people. And I have such a small circle. You all know who you are. And you guys know that with all my heart, I really mean that. So thank you to all you guys. You know, and hey, listen, man, like I said, it's my time now, man. It's my time.
Most definitely. It truly is. Homie, I'm looking forward to several more shows in the future. You've got fights lined up all the way out.
Yes.
But,
yes, sir.
I'll be hitting you directly, homie, because I told you the show's a little bit different. It's not your standard Wikipedia or Tapology show.
Yeah.
You know, it's basically designed to show the sport, not only what they see on TV or the internet, but to show the true side of what life really brings. And I'll tell you what, homie, I'm honored you came on the show today because you gave the world a look into who you are. And not many people are willing to do that. You were open and forthwith about it. And I got nothing but respect for you, my man. Go out there and show the world April 25th in Contenders.
Yes,
who
the
real champion is, man. Do what you
got to
do.
You already know, man. We'll have to get on an interview, maybe the 26th or the 27th, and talk about what we just saw, man, and getting that victory, man.
Oh, most definitely. Count me in. I'm there, brother.
All right,
thank
man.
You so much.
God bless. Brother. Thank you so much, man.
God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Lorenzo Hood, the Dream Killer. I apologize for the technical difficulties. We're under some storms right now. Things happen. It's a live show. We kept it going. Usually I'm not good at filling dead airspace, so thank God it was only about 25 seconds that we were off. But much love to Lorenzo Hood and Daryl and MMA Management, Fighter of Champions. I'll tell you what, four tremendous sponsors keep the show going. That's Finished MMA with Juan Martinez, Cut Man for Hire with Jacob Stitch-Duran and Juan Ramirez, Bite Me Mouthguards with Joe Rice, and last but not least, the 86ers with Alfred and Freddie. Nobody should be 86 in life, nor should you. With that being said, have a good day, and God bless.
I don't want to talk no more. I'm tired of talking. Nothing works. Here we are sitting in this dark space again. We promise if we got here, let it be.